product of God's grace, just like all of us here. Rick, I loved hearing your story. You know, it just doesn't get much better. We could probably spend and be it'd be worthwhile to just go around the room and hopefully around lunch tables and breakfast tables to hear one another's stories. God uses broken people. You know, John 12:24 says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And we're all broken people, right? Amen. People that have been saved by the grace of God. And so there's the kernel of wheat. There's the potential of a kernel of wheat in our lives, and which is appropriate back here in Kansas, I guess. But I really come as just another person on the journey. You know, I've heard Richard Spann's name for many years and of his work and his dedication to building the lives of people, families, all around Kansas and beyond. And Richard, thanks for your heart and your labors all through the years. And I'm sure that's true of a lot of people in this room. There's other staff that are here. You probably all know the... Some of you at least know some of the staff around. Well, I saw Jim Truax back there. Does everyone know Jim? Jim and his wife Carrie and their family spent years and years and years and years in Indonesia and among the Muslims of Indonesia and sent missionaries from Indonesia. I mean, if we could just sit at a table and listen to Jim talk and you'd hear, I mean, the stories that he can tell. And where's Dave Gross? And Dave's right next to him there. And Pam and I got to know Dave and his wife Susan back in Kansas City. My wife's from Kansas City. And we got Ken Goodyear back here that's up in Manhattan. And Doug Simmons that transplanted from Topeka over to Kansas City. And I'm going to miss people. And Dave Waddell here, who's working with the Metro Mission in Kansas City, working with business and professionals there. My traveling buddy here, Vic Black, we've known each other for probably from almost minute one that I came on staff, and Pam and I came on staff, and he's been a good friend. And they even let a Nebraska guy come down. Bob Sather's here from Omaha.
Stop at the border.
There are other staff that are here that just wanted to... The first thing you're supposed to do when you get together with a new group that you don't know people is to bond with them. So I brought my my Jayhawk hat, and I figured I'd bond with. Okay, well, how many Jayhawks are here? Okay, there's a few of us. Okay, so I don't feel too bad. They did. I think all the Big 12 won. I think everybody, isn't that right? Even Missouri. We all pick on Missouri, right?
Okay. let me
pray for us. Father, I thank you for the work of your grace in broken lives. And Lord, we come before you and we just acknowledge one more time that apart from you, we can do nothing. And apart from the work of your grace and the work of your gospel, because of the work and the blood of Jesus, we would have no hope in this world. And so we just confess that to you. And Lord, we say to you, we come together, men who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, brothers, and we can stand before you as one, saying, we need you, we want you, speak to us, and we trust that you'll do it. And so we sit on the edge of our seats waiting for what you'll speak into each one of our lives. And Lord, we trust that each person here, we didn't show up for no good reason, but we showed up because you've got something to say to us this weekend. And so, Lord, we speak to you, and with the same word Samuel did, Lord, we your servants here, we're listening, and ask that you would speak. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be, the theme of our weekend I think on your program it says advancing the gospel in everyday life. That could be one way to put it. The Navigator calling statement, the Navigator's international calling statement is to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers living and discipling among the lost. And so our topic this weekend is going to be about the advance of the gospel in everyday life. Tomorrow, when you some of you actually got the handout today, you won't need a handout tonight. But the topic's going to be engaging our friends in the kingdom drama. We live in a world, and we work with them. We're neighbors to people who are lost and without hope and without help in this world. People who have broken lives and don't have the hope that we have not experienced the grace of God. And we're going to talk tomorrow about that topic. How do we live in such a way that we engage with that world and with those friends that are yet to know Jesus? But I thought tonight it'd be good to start out, and I'm going to just tell you a little bit about my story and tell you a little bit about how that happened to me. So in way of extended testimony, we'll learn a little bit about the Navigators, for those of you that are new to the Navigators, and hear a little bit about a story, and how you all and we all could be part of other people's story in the years ahead. This is a picture of my family. My wife, Pam, we've been married for 27 years. The blonde girl in the back right behind us, that's Beth Ann. She's 25, and she got married a year ago, or a little over a year ago, to the guy in the blue shirt back there, Eric, who works at Eagle Lake Camp. The Navigators have a kids camp up outside of Woodland Park, and he's worked there for the last 3 years. Beth Ann's a social worker, works with a child placement organization, helping kids and families. Our daughter on the left there is Lauren. She's going to graduate from University of Northern Colorado in Greeley in criminal justice in May. And our son Will, there in the green shirt, is a freshman at Baker University over there near Lawrence, Kansas, just south of there. Will played football his first semester freshman year. I think he did more football than school, so we're hoping that he gets to press on in that. But he's an incredible kid, great kid. I've got a lot of gifts from God. God has really given us a great family. God is a master painter. He's a master artist, and he finds great pleasure in painting into the lives of his creation, into his people. And all of us here, like I said, could tell a story about how God has begun to paint in our lives. Ephesians 2:10, and this is in the New Living Translation, says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago." So we're God's masterpiece. Now everyone know what a painter's palette is? This is a painter's palette. What is the palette that God uses in our lives? What is the palette of colors and shades and tints that God uses in our lives? What is it? All those things. But I would bet that every one of us here, if we were to tell our story, just like Rick's story, there's people, significant people, that God used as the colors and the shades and the tints in our life to paint on our lives. All kinds of them. I mean, we could sit here and I could just ask you, even just for a few seconds, to think about all the different people. And you could probably, different ones of us could talk about the different people and what they added to what God was doing in our lives. For many of us, it's more than one person. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my own life and how God, through the years, continues to paint. And when you think about it this way, it's so cool because we can take no credit for what God's doing. No credit. And it's humbling when you think about how God works in our lives. Bill Nunke over there on the left and Joan in the middle. Joan is no longer with us. She died about 10 years ago. My mom and dad. Interesting. Most of my life growing up, they were not followers of Christ. But guess what? God used them in my life to paint. And I can look back and I can think of some of the good things, many of the good things that God used to paint in my life through Bill and Joan, through my mom and dad. My dad lives down in Florida. I'm going to get a chance to go bass fishing with him here in a couple weeks. He's not doing very well health-wise. But I'm continuing to be influenced by my mom and dad. And they have both, well, my mom came to faith before she died, and my dad has come to faith since then. Jim and Swan Bates, on the outside here, longtime Kansas City residents. That's Pam's mom and dad. And Pam, if Pam were here, she'd tell you stories about how they painted beautifully in her life. Both longtime believers and a great commitment to Christ. Now, you see anybody familiar in there? Probably not too familiar. 1976, a young guy from Cleveland, Ohio, showed up at TCU down in Fort Worth. He's here on the right. Probably don't recognize him. His fraternity brothers called him Nanook of the North. He was a nominal believer, went to church. Well, I wasn't a believer. Nominal churchgoer, I should say, similar to what Rick was talking about. Went to church every once in a while. We moved hard. It took us a long time to find churches, it seemed like, when we moved to new places. We finally find a church, and about that time, my dad got transferred again. But during those years, God planted some seeds, and I had an interest, at least, in spiritual things. And I showed up at TCU, Texas Christian University, not so much Christian University, but God plopped me down in the middle of some people that genuinely loved Him. Now, does God use superstars to impact people's lives? No. No, He uses everyday people by His grace to impact people's lives. Well, who did he use? Okay, well, this is the Horned Frog sign. Any TCU grads here? Probably not. Okay, I'm all alone. Over here on the left, the woman over on the left, Mary Ellen Haynes, at that point was Mary Ellen Kilgore. She was from Colorado. At that point, as a freshman, I was honestly smitten. She was a genuine believer, loved Jesus. All a bunch of freshmen that were around me, a bunch of people that didn't know a whole lot, all they knew is that they loved Jesus and that they wanted to tell other people about Him. And I got plopped right down in the middle of that group of people. And we were in fraternity, sorority and stuff. We were out at a tin roof in Fort Worth, Kicker Hall, beer joint. And we're sitting there, I'm learning how to country and western dance. And things weren't going very well. I was hoping to be pre-med, and I was hoping to play tennis, and those two things weren't working out very well for me. And this little gal, freshman in college, 18 years old, not a preacher, not trained, sat across this place from me and basically said, as I poured down a Texas Pride, said, "You know, Doug, you're probably going to have a hard time in life if you keep putting your hope in stuff like, you know, what your major is and if you're going to play tennis or not. So didn't you know that these guys that you're hanging around with are all believers?" And I knew that they talked about being Christians, but I thought we were all Christians, you know. So I didn't really get it. But she explained it to me that night in this tin roof outside of Fort Worth, Texas. This little freshman in college. And God used her to awaken my soul and to help me to be able to see that all these people that were around me loved Christ. And I wanted it. And that day, September 1976, God made a new creation in my life. Because I had it together? Nope. Because she had it together? Nope. By God's grace, because He's a master painter, and He uses people as His colors in his shades, in his tents, in our lives. And he's done it with all of us, and he intends to use us in the same way in other people's lives. Another guy who is another fraternity, this is Mac, Craig McElvain, who is a year ahead of me. And after I came to faith, he started to meet with me and to teach me how to have a quiet time. We went on prayer retreats out in the middle of nowhere in Texas. And he helped me helped me to learn how about memorizing scripture and began to build into my life a heart for God and the disciplines of following God. And I grew. I was just, you know, again, just a knucklehead. But I grew to have a love for this book that is, to be honest with you, has never waned. I love this book. And it's because God worked through that guy right there. That this guy took the time to put his arm around and to walk with this knucklehead freshman from Cleveland, Ohio that didn't know anything. And to walk with me and to pour his life into me. This guy in the middle here is Rich Beach. Rich was a youth pastor up in Kansas City. And Rich was Craig's spiritual grandfather. Rich had poured in the life of Bob, who poured in the life of Mac, who poured into my life. And this is a picture just actually in January. We were back together. And Richard ended up becoming a great mentor in my life. One more color. One more shade that God used in my life. Richard, he ended up marrying us here. Here he is, a much younger guy back then. That's us at Redbridge Baptist Church outside in Kansas City the day that we got married. This is Pam and I down front. You may not recognize us there. At a church function, we ended up graduating from college and went up to Denver. I ended up getting on church staff at Cherry Hills Community Church, and this is our covenant group, a bunch of people that that covenanted together, had a Bible study, and committed to grow together and to sharpen one another in Christ. Actually, some of you guys may recognize Steve Allen. Steve and Ann Allen, he's a pediatric cardiologist here in Wichita. Good friends. And that was our Cherry Hills years when we were on staff at that church. It was during college that Mac, he had this leadership group, and he put this, he was discipling us, he was also training us for ministry so that our lives would reproduce themselves. And one day he brought this tape out, you know, it was you know, back in the cassette tape days, which it was probably a brand new, hot off the press cassette deal, called Born to Reproduce by this guy named Dawson Trotman. It's my sophomore year of college, and we listened to this tape. And some of you maybe have heard that tape, heard that message. And this is one of the lines in it. As Dawson talked about reproducing himself in other people's lives, God, give me a woman or a man whom I can win to Christ, or let me take one who has already won, an infant in Christ, and try to train that one so that he or she will reproduce. And as a sophomore in college, God began to fan into flame this passion to have my life count to see the work of Christ reproduced in other people. Later my sophomore year, spring break trip, Bob, remember Richard, who's the spiritual dad of Bob, who wasn't in the picture, who was the spiritual dad of Craig? Well, somehow, it was like this conspiracy or something. You know, I mean, they all were looking out for one another, and all of a sudden I find out that they want me to go with Bob on a spring break trip out to Southern California on a faith journey. So Bob was going out to check out churches, he was doing the Jesus movement, and we went out to California and we were interviewing people, but we were sharing the gospel along the way, you know, and we were just, and we're on in Newport Beach, and I'm having my quiet time in California, Newport Beach, and I opened the Genesis 22, 17, and 18, and here I am, and I'm reading, and it says, "Surely I'll bless you and make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." So again, as a sophomore in college, I hear that, And I look all around me and I see the sand all over the seashore. And I go, wow. Imagine that. Imagine that God would want to use an everyday person to impact the world. Do we believe that here? Do you all believe that here? Believe that through our lives, through an everyday person's life, that God would use us to impact in that kind of domino, multiplicative, generational kind of way. And as a sophomore in college, I got that vision and then went back to TCU and started to, as best, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, it was not the right way. I mean, mistakes all along the way, but I was committed that I was going to invest my life in other people and began from that day forward. And again, a work of God's grace. Could I take any credit for it? No. Because God was painting in my life, just like He's painted in ours and wants to paint. Years later, we went to University of Kansas and went on staff with the Navigators. God opened doors. The swim coach at KU came to faith. He invited me to be, quote, you know, counselor, quasi-informal chaplain, and I began to hang out with the swim team. And God began to bring people. Drew King there on the left there in the blue Kansas swimming and diving sweatshirt, as a freshman, was a walk-on. Things weren't working out. Collegiate swimming was a little tougher than we thought it was going to be. And a couple months into his freshman year, he came to faith. And he began to lead others. And this is a group that he and I took to a camp much like this outside of Lawrence, just to spend some time in the Word and to trust that God might woo some of these other friends into the kingdom. This is Sean Sheridan. He ran track at KU. They now live in Colorado Springs. We got to go trout fishing a couple summers ago. But just to illustrate everyday people. And by the way, at this point, you know, in these days, Sean was over at my house helping me change out light fixtures a couple days ago. My job is not to do all this stuff. By the way, the stories that you hear tomorrow are not because it's part of my job. It's because what we do in life. And God has convicted us that in these days, even though we're not back on campus where it was our job, these days, in my U.S. director role, my job is to travel around all over the place and do different things. But God's job for us, God's desire, God's vision for all of our life is that in everyday life, in the margins of our life, and as we walk through life, that He's going to use us. And it's just a work. It's another gift that I get to hang out with Sean Sheridan, just a young guy that I get a chance to continue to build into his life. And it just so happens it started way back there at KU years ago. Sean and his wife Lynette, who's right in front of him, they moved back to Colorado Springs. Pam and I connected with them, and the next thing you know, they were helping us recruit some other young couples to be in this little community group together. So we're learning how to do community. The guy down here in the bottom left, Lad, who has his own, he's just a fledgling interior design business, was over our house changing out sinks this morning when I left. Had plaster all over him, head to foot. And so we're engaging in life. I mean, life, our lives are intersecting. This is a young guy that dated my daughter in high school. So I got to know him and some other guys that were his friends, and we ended up having a Bible study with just a bunch of young high school guys. Some of them were Christians, some of them weren't. And Brian and I became good friends. And through the years, he's gone on to University of Colorado, and we keep in touch. He's plugged into the ministry up at University of Colorado, and I actually gave him a call and talked to him on the phone this morning. And so we just keep up. And again, it's because life causes us to intersect with the people He wants us to connect to. And that'll be a theme tomorrow that we'll pick up on. Life causes us to connect with the people that He wants us to do something with. And they're all right around us. When we were on staff at Cherry Hills Community Church, he brought Kim Koipele, who was Kim Alexander at that point, into our life, and we've kept up with her over the years. It just so happens there, she and her husband Andy are involved with the Navigator work in Metro Detroit these days. And you'll hear more tomorrow about our Starbucks connection. We decided we'd adopt Starbucks. And this is one of our managers, Linda, and assistant manager, Val. And I've got some stories I can tell you about them. So God's desire, again, because he's a master painter, and you all have come here for these couple days, and our goal is, my goal is that God would fan the flame of our vision, that he wants to use you, he wants to use me, he wants to use us as the paint colors in the people's lives that are right around us. And he is. I know he is. We could tell stories of that. And we'll learn a little bit more tomorrow about that. Pam would want just another picture of her in here, so I put that in there. So what do we learn from God's story in Pam and my lives? First is that we can each rejoice knowing that we are God's masterpiece and he's not done with us yet. None of us have arrived. And we come together in a place like this. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We come together in a place like this, trusting that God's going to sharpen us because he's not done with us yet. We know that we are not alone. God continues to use the varied colors, tones, and shades of other people to influence and to go with us. And then finally, we realize that we're part of an adventure and a mysterious drama being directed by God himself. We can look back and we can see the story as it's unfolded. And we anticipate with hope and great expectation for what he's going to do in the days ahead. Because the story isn't finished yet. And the masterpiece that he's painting is not done. And even with all that we've had this past week, I'm sure we could tell stories about some of the stuff we've left behind. Family, kids, marriages, business, all those things. That we can have hope because we know that the story continues. And there's great things around the next bend. God's intent for us is that from generation to generation, the good news gets passed on. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They'll tell of your mighty deeds. We're just one generation that's passing on the word of God's greatness and his praise to the next generation. So for those of you that are new to the navigators are people that come together and they have some desires. They have a vision to see some things happen. Here's some of them. The navigators are groups of friends who want to, one, know Christ. Two, we want to live among those yet to know Christ so that these friends will find hope that is available in the good news of Jesus and the kingdom. So we're people that know Christ and we live among those that don't know him yet. Three, we help disciples of Jesus experience transformed lives. How does that happen? It happens through prayer, the Word, community, and the Spirit. Navigators are groups of friends who want to help everyday people, not spiritual superstars, everyday people, men and women, learn to experience, live, and speak the good news among their friends who are yet to experience it. So we want to help people grow and be transformed and be able to help others with that, but we also want to help people learn to experience, live, and speak the good news. And we're going to focus on that number four tomorrow. About what does that look like in our life? How do we live in such a way that the non-believing world is drawn to it, you know, like bee to pollen? And finally, trust God to see the gospel not only impact the U.S., but also the nations of the world. As I think about what we want to see the navigators do, what we want to see the navigators be about, it's this statement right here. Our desire is that in the years ahead, that we would see hundreds of thousands of everyday people, people like Richard Spann, everyday people. They're not paid to do it. They do it because God's called them to do it. People like us in this room who in the context of a community of friends, we don't do it alone, we do it with a community of friends, are experiencing the gospel. We're seeing the gospel change our lives and are advancing the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom in the normal pathways of life. That's what we long to see happen. So, in way of introduction tonight, I just come before you as just another guy. Just another guy that God plucked out and threw into a group of people, and he's just blessed me all along the way with great friends, good people that have God has used as the colors and the shades and tones in my life. I stand before you as just a work of God's grace. I've got a lot of friends who say, well, you're just a good piece of work. But a work of God's grace that has just been blessed to have some unbelievable people that have painted on my life. It's awesome. It's incredible. And he wants to use us in the same way. And so we'll look at that tomorrow. Let me pray. Father, we come before you as a group of men, a group of brothers, and who can all say the same thing that I've been saying tonight, which is you are working in our life and you're using people. And so we just thank you for that, Father. We humbly thank you for that. That apart from, and we can just, our heads can be filled with different people's faces. Apart from those people, wow, where would we be? Moms and dads, brothers, sisters, friends, pastors, mentors. Thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And Lord, we ask that as we spend the rest of our time, the next couple of these days together, that you would use us to sharpen one another and that you would equip us to be used by you as the colors that you need to paint on the lives of people around us. Won't you do that? And we thank you for the gift it is for a group of men like this to come together to be able to take time off work and time away from our families to be able to have our hearts knit together and to hear from you. So we ask that you would do that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013. All rights reserved.